Hi, it's Georgia again. I haven't created a podcast for a few weeks. I've actually been mourning my greyhound who passed away quite suddenly. I can't really talk about it, but the last thing I can do when in that state is to write and speak. But Lazarus had a fantastic life as a retired greyhound and he loved his life, and that's all we could have asked for. So I need to move on. And I did mention I would write something paranormal. So I'm returning to a novella I wrote about 3 years ago. It's around 26,000 words and it's a semi-diary format in first person with third person chapters too. So the only other book I've seen in this format is Richard Osman's Thursday Murder Club, and that's given me some confidence to flesh it out as planned for publication later this year. So the story is based on a bookshop I love to visit. It was an antiquarian bookshop and it had lots of children's books that I used to collect. I'm also a fan of the golden age of illustration too, so that could be another podcast subject at some time. So this particular bookshop possessed what I would call an atmospheric cellar. I didn't particularly see anything, but it wasn't somewhere I wanted to stay for long. The shop was on different levels too, higgledy-piggledy with lots of tiny rooms to peer into, and it was brimmed to the ceiling with books, and I spent hours in there. The owner, a lovely man, wasn't too well, but he always liked to chat. So I'm going to share the first couple of pages. It does need another round of editing, but you can get a good feel for the style. So here we go. Carrying an old, heavy, leather-bound book, Amelia sighed as a clumping, dragging footsteps abruptly stopped behind her. Not for the first time. How could she be afraid of something she couldn't even see? She half expected to feel the sensation of warm breath against her neck, the moisture dampening her skin lightly, her hair tickling her neck. Taking a deep breath, she swung around. The only movement ahead of her appeared to be the erratic swinging of a light bulb. With no air circulating around in the cellar, she accepted what she saw. Turning around, she sighed again and placed the old book on the open bookshelf. It was only then she noticed a shadow pass on the other side of the shelf. A distinct smell of an aftershave wafted across her face, taking her back to her childhood when this brand was all the rage. The race up the wonky, narrow stone stairs to the ground floor left her breathless. Her trembling hand pulled the bolt into place with a resounding clunk. Amelia stood with her back against the cellar door, skin prickling, and not quite comprehending why she was subjected to this activity. Not only that, the frequency bothered her. Her gut stirred with unease. Her grandmother possessed the same intuition, missing the generation in between, probably for the greater good in her view. Amelia had received a double helping as a result. Something was going to happen, she just knew it. The doorbell rang, bringing her to her senses. Amelia needed to open up the bookshop. She took another deep breath and steadied herself before welcoming her first visitor. Diary entry, May the 15th. I knew about the tragedy before it happened. The knot in my stomach intensified, and another fleeting shadow passed by a bookcase as I dusted the shelves and replaced the books in the cellar. The logical side of my mind can't handle the shivers, the faraway sounding whispers and the open books on the floor. As I write in bed, Bella lies stone-cold dead in a mortuary after a freak riding accident. After work, I'd cycled along a disused railway line and planned to take photos of anything interesting. Old limestone kilns dotted around the landscape, playful calves jumped around, and a busy, productive vibe filled the air as wildlife made the most of a warm evening. The distant alarm neared. I couldn't discern whether or not the police or an ambulance approached the village. I just knew it wasn't the sound of a fire engine. I cycled faster, and there I had my answer. An ambulance crossed the bridge ahead of me. I made a detour up the bank and the ambulance curved round the bend up into the village. The ride uphill felt tough on my thighs, so the pause when I hit the crest gave me a moment to watch the blue flashing lights beyond the church and pub on the road leading towards the bird reserve towards the fields beyond. I huffed and puffed as I arrived in the centre of the village. Jane sat outside the pub with her boyfriend Kieran. A few of the locals milled around. I breathlessly asked Jane what she knew as I plopped down by her side to hug her. "Nothing yet, but you stink of sweat," she said, wrinkling her nose. "Well, at least I have a reason for the smell," I retorted, sensing the tension. Even Kieran sat quietly, not raising his eyes from the table. I drank my warm glass of lemonade and headed home, only to hear the phone ringing non-stop as a shower cooled me down. The shock sickened me. Jane could hardly get the words out. No witnesses as yet. Something about this seemed wrong to me, though. Bella had ridden her horse for 6 years, and as an experienced rider, she could handle a fall. Jane explained she'd hit her head on a gate, and a passing white van had seen the loose horse and investigated. 10 months ago, I'd attended Bella's wedding. Now a family was in shock and mourning. Not a time to contact them just yet, but I had a strong inkling the shadow had foretold this event. I declined to go back to the pub where Bob was offering free brandies. I didn't want to mourn that way. I looked through the wedding photographs I'd taken on the day. Bella had preferred these intimate photos to the official ones, and I'd gifted her an album of the ones she wanted. I kept the rest. With no appetite, I blankly watched the Eurovision Song Contest for the first time in 10 years, with the UK limping home nowhere near the top of the board and somewhere I'd never heard of winning. I'm writing this up now with the bedside lamp switched on. I used to keep the lamp on as a child, but I'm not quite sure of what I'm frightened of this time.